welcome to Behind the Business, a podcast where we talk with Hot Springs business owners and managers about their business. Each Monday, we go inside the business to get a unique perspective on the challenges and opportunities businesses face today. My name is James Lee, and we're broadcasting from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for joining us today. I'd like to welcome Sarah Richardson to the podcast. She is the Executive Director of the Literacy Council of Garland County. Welcome. How are you doing today?
Hi, how are you?
Doing good.
Good, good.
So, to start off with, everyone's heard of the Literacy Council, but tell me briefly, you know, what it is y'all do.
Okay. So, shockingly, a lot of people still haven't heard since I came on board. When I joined in 2020, truly a lot of people had not heard of us. I think that's improved, but we kind of joke we're the best kept secret in town. We provide free confidential tutoring to adults only. And pretty much any education facet you can think of, reading, writing, math, English as a second language, computers, we're very goal-based. So something I encourage people to think about, instead of saying to somebody, hey, go down to the Literacy Council, they can teach you to read, focus on a goal. You're having trouble passing your written driver's test, we can help you study for that. You want to be able to help with your child's homework, and you know the reading or the math is a struggle for you, we can help with that. So we do it on people's individual schedules based around their need, and most of that's done through volunteers.
Yeah. So roughly how many volunteers do y'all have? Because I know you are mostly a volunteer-based organization.
Right. So we have two staff. I'm the only full-time, the other's part-time. We have some senior community employment program members who are paid through a federal program, some AmeriCorps members, new ones this year I'm really excited about, and then the rest is volunteers, and that amounts to roughly 30 people right now, which is not quite enough to meet our need. We're continually growing, and we're expanding. Most people do know we're expanding into three counties around us, so the need is for volunteers is growing. The majority of our volunteers tutor. And we train them on that. We provide the materials. But we need volunteers for everything. Fundraising, if you're into that. If you're into events, like you love to plan an event, come be part of our fundraising team. We need volunteers for outreach events. If you like to go to events around town and just chat up folks, that's a great thing for you. Basic office things. People just to kind of answer the phone and file papers. So we have a fit for anybody who's looking to volunteer.
Yeah. So you said you're expanding. Tell me a little bit about that. I know we've talked about it, here in the, at the paper a little bit, but tell me a little bit about that and what the plans are.
It's both exciting and scary. So literacy councils around the state, belong to a group called the Adult Learning Alliance of Arkansas. And that serves as our accountability agency to, you know, make sure we're doing our job and doing everything correctly. But they also distribute the state allocation for literacy councils. And that agency oversees the whole state, so they have an awareness of where there are needs for services and where there aren't any available. Right now there's 22 councils serving 45 counties. We have over 70 counties in the state, so that means almost half the state, you know, is not getting services. So one of the plans they put in place to make sure that every Arkansan has access to adult literacy service is for councils to become regional. Most councils around the state previously were one county. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of duplicated administrative costs, but also really you're not going to be able to set up an office in some of these counties because they're so rural, mm-hmm. but there's probably people that do need services. So slowly but surely, councils that have a good structure and the support are taking on counties around them. So we have had a great few years, and I mean, it's an honor that they came to us and said, would you be willing to take on Montgomery, Pike, and Clark? And I said, because it's a pretty big task, which is necessitating a name change. We're in the process of becoming the Literacy Council of the Washitas, and we are starting the process of building relationships in those communities. And as soon as we get the final go ahead that we're legally renamed and all mm-hmm. of that. And I'm pretty excited about it, but also it's a pretty big task. So we're looking forward to it, though.
Yeah. So with you expanding into these three counties, are you going to have like the small satellite offices in those locations, or how are you going to do that?
So it will look really different in every community. We've started a similar process in building better relationships and services near Jesseville. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's where I want it to be, but we've learned a lot and have built some connections that where you have to get to know the community first and their need and where your support is going to come from and where your partners are going to be. I would be shocked if we put in any new facilities, but it'll be partner sites like we have here. Only about, I would say, half our students meet with their tutor in our office. They meet in a lot of other public locations. We can't meet in private homes, private spaces, but there are public spaces all around town. People are meeting. For example, some folks were getting, who worked at one of the local hotels, getting reading tutoring. They were meeting in one of the little side offices off the manager's office, so they were not in a private space, but they had privacy. Mm-hmm. We have recently had a tutor student pair meeting. He was in a nursing facility and working on recovering from a brain injury. And so they were tutoring kind of off their little shared space there where it was quiet. So we'll probably do that in those communities as well. Whatever is a good fit, safe space for tutors and students to meet that's accessible. That's the tricky part. It's got to be accessible when people are available to meet, which is often after hours. So,
yeah. So, you know, in addition to finding a space, you need more volunteers. I mean, we were talking about that earlier just for here, but, you know, expanding into three counties, you may have plenty of volunteers here in a perfect world.
Right.
But you may not have as many that could travel to Mount Ida or Arkadelphia, Gurdon, Pike County, anything like that. So how are you working on trying to build volunteers in those areas?
Well, the first step will be finding some champions in those communities that mm-hmm. really care about the cause and are going to be willing to speak on our behalf and things like that. Mm-hmm. Kind of a point person. Then we'll recruit volunteers, much like we have here, through civic organizations, Rotary clubs, speaking to like-minded groups, mm-hmm. Hopefully through the universities as well. Long-term, what I hope to happen is that we are able to recruit AmeriCorps members in each of those communities, and they serve as kind of a point person there. Mm-hmm. We have used AmeriCorps members locally, and, you know, there's pros and cons to that, but I think that would be a good way to do it and provide a stipend to whoever's in that community. Mm-hmm. And they would hopefully live in that, the goal being they live in that community.
Right.
We're also going to need board members from those communities, which is early on. I keep telling everybody, it's kind of going to be a slow crawl. I want to build it well mm-hmm. and make sure we have all the right structures in place so that students don't sign up and then we can't get them any services.
Right.
And we have some councils around the state that have already followed this process who I've been asking their advice.
Right.
Don't reinvent the wheel. Call the expert. And so they've really advised that we make sure we have that partner and those champions in place first before we recruit students. So.
Right.
Tune in to check out the Garland County Library's new podcast every Friday for all things library. Being the state's first lending library since 1833, we are your connection point for the information you need, including books, movies, music, and much more. Find out more at gclibrary.com.
So you mentioned you'll need board members from those areas. Are you going to expand the board or kind of just bring in people to kind of replace some of the ones that you've already got focused here?
Our board could, in its bylaws, have up to 15 members, mm-hmm. and we have, I believe, 8 right now. So there are a couple of people that are in the process of joining our board, and then these we will add these on. And we may need to rewrite the bylaws to include more people, because mm-hmm. this was written assuming we were only going to serve Garland County, and we don't want the new communities to be underrepresented.
Sure.
Underrepresented. That's a hard word to say. But we will... we'll find some folks in those communities that want to be involved, and then they can Zoom in. We won't require everybody to drive this way, because, for example, Murfreesboro is probably the furthest point from us. Mm-hmm. That's a long way for somebody to come in for a meeting or an event. So we'll make it accessible.
Right. So you've also got a few events coming up. Tell me a little bit about what y'all have got going on in addition to
right.
this massive expansion.
So we do have a new volunteer orientation on October 10th. Mm-hmm. We do it twice on the day. We do it at noon and 5:30. I'll feed you, so please register. It's just an hour, and the way to register is to go to our webpage, WashitaLiteracy.org, and there's a volunteer application. Fill that out, and then we'll get in contact to see which orientation you want to sign up for. If you can't make it on the 10th, we'll do another one. We do them at least every other month. Then once you do the orientation, you'll give us some feedback about what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to work with English language learners. Maybe you want to teach beginning readers. Maybe you feel like you're more cut out for specific skill sets. Or maybe you just want to come in and answer the phone. Then we'll match you to the training you need. Most of that's online. There would be no way to possibly train all the possible volunteers, and you would have to go through like 8 trainings, you know.
Right.
And you may not ever want to tutor that kind of topic. So the thing I encourage people to think about when they're filling out their volunteer application is, what skill sets do you have that a student might need? Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a couple of examples, because our application seems kind of long, and it's not trying to get a resume built up, but it's for matching to students. So we've had a couple of retired HR folks, and they get matched to people who are really trying to build a resume or get a job. We had somebody come in who needed to study for her x-ray tech test, and her readings was actually okay. It was really more about learning some study skills. And I have a retired nurse that volunteers for. So the more we know about you as a volunteer, the better we can make a match to your student. And that helps us to focus on those goals.
So right.
We have a birthday party coming up. The Literacy Council turns 40 this year, which is funny. I turned 40 this year. The Literacy Council and I were born the same year, which is kind of fun. And we're going to have a birthday party on November 16th. And we'd love for people to come by. You can bring gifts if you want. We're making an Amazon wish list. But just come by and have some cake. And especially if you've ever had anything to do with us in the last 40 years. And I'm not going to try to rope you into doing anything. I just want to celebrate with this whole community that has kept this agency alive and serving for 40 years. And then we are doing Read Between the Wines again. If you were involved with Read Between the Wines in February of this year, Biddy Martin gave an amazing presentation about her book, Snake Eyes. And it was a great, great evening of wine and food and silent auction and a presentation from Biddy. This year, we have Eli Craner coming on February 8th. He wrote Ozark Dogs, which is set in a fictional town that is very similar to Dardanelle, where he mm-hmm. lives. It's made a national bestseller list, and we're really excited to have him here. He's going to share with us about his book and his writing process, and we'll have good food, and there's some details still to be determined, but it is happening February 8th. And so the best way to stay up to date on all these things is to get on our email list or to check out our webpage, and we can keep you in the loop.
Yeah. So let's go back for a second. You were talking about volunteers and the volunteer application. What are your basic requirements, if you have any, for volunteers? Yeah. Because I know you can't just have everybody that, you know, anybody that comes in off the street.
Right. Well, it kind of depends on what they're wanting to do, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to come in and help put together decorations for Read Between the Lines, you know, basically you need to be crafty, right?
Right.
But if you're wanting to tutor adults, you need to have a high school diploma or GED yourself and be, you know, a proficient reader. I do want to say, if you're going to tutor someone learning English, you do not need to speak their language. The beginning can be a little tricky, usually through translated text to get coordinated, but it's not necessary to speak their native language. We have the materials. In fact, you want to be speaking in English so that they're practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And we would never find all the languages of the students we tutor. Most of our students' native language is Spanish, but we have Asian languages represented, Middle Eastern languages. We have Portuguese. So, and even Spanish from country to country varies. Right. So you don't have to speak the language. And then just have kind of a good disposition for working with adults. You know, you don't want to come in with sort of expecting that they're going to be the same as a child learner. They're not mandated to be there. So,
right.
And other than that, you know, we will train you for the rest. It's pretty rare we come across somebody who's just not a great fit for tutoring. And they can still be involved in other ways if they want to. So.
Right. And just because somebody comes in and say I walk in the door and say I want to tutor someone in reading,
mm-hmm.
but I also enjoy math, and you've got somebody who, you know, needs some tutoring in math.
Yeah.
It won't be a problem to switch over into that as long as you've gone through that training, correct?
Right. And sometimes the training varies based on you, okay? Mm-hmm. So I've got a number of retired teachers. I don't require them to go through the whole certification. I do. There's a one. It's less than an hour. It's one course teaching the adult learner. It's a web-based training. I do that one pretty much everybody has to go through. But there's a longer tutor certification that, say, somebody retired from HR might need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it goes over some phonics basics, some basics of teaching others. But so we do vary it, but your basic skill set can be pretty varied, and you can switch. And some people have a lot of time. They take on several students. Some people take on one. So it looks different for every tutor.
Right. And, you know, your volunteers, you know, aren't all older retirees either.
No.
Because I do know that you've got some younger folks that help out as well.
Right. We've got a number of working people. Mara Kuhn from the chamber, she tutors one evening a week. The tutoring commitment is roughly one session a week.
Mm-hmm.
If we have a student who comes in and says, I want four sessions a week, first of all, we say, not sure we can do that. But we'll find a tutor who can meet that or split it with another
mm-hmm.
tutor. But most of these learners are adults with jobs and commitments too. Mary Metcalf, she owns some local magazines, and her husband's a realtor. They're busy, and mm-hmm. she tutors just an hour or so a week. There's some prep time, but that's flexible, you know.
Sure.
So it just depends on you. Then there, I have a couple of tutors who are retired who teach a couple of classes several days a week.
Right.
Jimmy Luster, she was an AmeriCorps member who just decided she just wanted to tutor. Carol Williams, she tutors a few days a week, the same group of students who are learning English. So just whatever you can work, then we find a student to match it.
Right. Well, I appreciate you coming by today. I enjoyed talking to you about this, learning a little bit. So
thanks for having me.
If people are wanting to get involved, either, you know, as a tutor or some other kind of volunteer, what's the best way that they can get in touch with you?
So if they're wanting to get involved, our webpage is washitaliteracy.org. And then our program coordinator, Taylor Kagabon, handles most of the volunteer intake and matching, and her email is programs@washitaliteracy.org. And then you can just call us at 501-624-7323, which in the old way used to be 624-READ. Right. But nobody uses those letter dialing anymore, which maybe we should bring it back. But it's 624-7323. You'll reach us.
And then I know you're also on social media.
Oh, we have a Facebook page, yes. It's still Literacy Council of Garland County. But when it gets shifted, it'll be Literacy Council of the Washitas, and we'll be there with information.
All right. Well, like I said, again, appreciate you coming by, and, you know, look forward to seeing what y'all do in the future.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun. This was fun. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Behind the Business. New episodes are released each Monday from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for listening.